Our text for this morning is the epistle reading, Paul's letter to Titus, chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. I read for you again the first two verses. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. This is our text. Dear Christian friends, how did Christmas Day first make its appearance to you this morning? Was it by the light gently increasing as the sun came up? Or were your eyes opened by a smell of coffee drifting in, or maybe even bacon? Or was it an alarm clock radio that started softly playing Christmas music? Or was it the lights suddenly being turned on and someone jumping up and down on the bed yelling, get up, it's Christmas! Well, if you were sound asleep, which would help you get up on the right side of the bed, so to speak? When Jesus made his appearance on that first Christmas day, when God was ready to wake the world from the darkness of sin and the sleep of death and to give new life through Jesus our Savior, how did it start? Gently. Today in our worship we sing the hymn, Joy to the World, which is a rousing hymn, even if we didn't have the instruments playing along. There is joy to the world because the Lord is come. We have reflected in our midweek worship on why the Lord is come. Today we take note of how he came as a humble baby in a manger. Because Jesus came in humble appearance to love us. He came in humble gentleness to help us. He came in humble service to save us. Let's think first about how he came in humble appearance to love us. We read, when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Jesus is King of kings and Lord of all creation. He is the Almighty with eternal glory. But when he appeared in person, the first glimpse of himself he gave us was of his loving kindness. Now, before this, when God appeared in a visible way, on Mount Sinai to Moses, it was in blazing fire and billowing smoke and the sound of a trumpet and an earthquake that shook everything as he gave the precious gift of his Ten Commandments. But how did the people react? They jumped back and they said, Moses, we're too frightened. You go talk to him and tell us what he said. The next time Jesus comes, on the last day, on Judgment Day, he will come with glory, with all of his angels. Again, the trumpets blaring, a trumpet blast. The world will shake to pieces, and the wicked will cry out in fear to the mountains, fall on us and hide us, cover us up. When Jesus' birth was announced to the shepherds, it started with just one angel, and still they were terrified. So why does our Lord come in such humble appearance? I think it's obvious. It's so that we don't all run away. He wants to reach out to us in love. You know how you are when you're out in public with a cute baby? Everybody wants to come over and say hi. The humble baby Jesus draws us to himself. God loves us. He wants to be with us. But ever since Adam's sin, mankind has been running and hiding from God because we know our brokenness and our guilt and our shame. And we're afraid that God's glory will hurt us, which it will, unless we approach him in humility and repentance. Jesus comes humbly to move us to humility. But it is because of the ruin of sin that Jesus comes in humble gentleness to help us. He saved us according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. When you want to help someone who is hurting or injured, whether it's an adult who's just been diagnosed with cancer, or a little child who has an owie, maybe a sliver in their finger, you want to be gentle so that they don't shut down or jerk back and insist, "No, don't touch it." Sin is deadly. It hurts us. It hurts those who are around us. Yet it is human nature to deny it, to hide it, to avoid dealing with it. Rather than wanting it to be taken away, we want to hold on to it. I compare it to a little child holding a sharp knife by the blade. It needs to be taken away, but you're not going to just jerk it away. So when God works mercifully to help us, to take away our sin, He does it in a way that is gentle and humble. Instead of grabbing us barehanded with all of His power, He handles us with kid gloves. Instead of irresistibly forcing us to do anything, He deliberately works in a way that can be resisted. He does this through what we call the means of grace. That's the tools that He uses to build faith and repentance in our hearts so that we receive His grace. Our text says, through Jesus, the Holy Spirit was poured out on us richly. This is that same Holy Spirit who caused Mary to conceive Jesus after she had said, may it be to me as the Lord has said. The Spirit also works to give birth to faith in our hearts using the Word of God, which is living and powerful, but which we are able to refuse and refuse to listen to. Jesus, the Word made flesh, works powerfully and persistently through the words of Scripture to cause our hearts to change, and He works by His word of forgiveness to take away our sins. You may recognize the words of this text about the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit to be part of Luther's explanation of holy baptism. In baptism, God's Word is the power that works gently through washing with water to bring even tiny little infants to faith and give them new birth. Jesus' own Word is also the power in the sacrament of Holy Communion, which causes bread and wine to be His body and blood, and which causes this to strengthen and to preserve our faith by giving us the forgiveness of sins. Through these humble means, water, bread, and wine, the humble and gentle Jesus works with His Word to help the hurting and the dying in the way that we need. But the power and the mercy come from the fact that Jesus came in humble service to save us. He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, so that, being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Jesus pours out the Holy Spirit on us to change our lives. But this change in our lives is not what saves us. Verse 5 emphasizes, we are not saved because of works done by us in righteousness, but we are justified freely by His grace because of what He has done in righteousness. This is why Jesus was born as a humble mortal. The goodness and the loving kindness and the mercy of God was there even before Jesus' birth. But what needed to happen because of the holiness and the justice and the righteousness of God, which is also always there, is that Jesus had to fulfill all righteousness in our place. He had to become a lowly and humble servant, carrying the burden of the law for us, finishing up all the jobs that we've left undone, such as loving the unlovely and loving God perfectly. He had to become immortal in order to humble Himself all the way to an innocent death on the cross, to do the dirty work with His pierced hands, scrubbing away the filth of all of our sins with His own blood. He had to humbly set aside all the glory of heaven that was His as God's only begotten Son in order to give it to us as God's adopted children, who inherit heaven, and so our text says, have the hope of eternal life. Jesus could have made his appearance in our world in no other way than as a humble, gentle baby. Because in this way, the loving kindness and the goodness of God, our Savior, appeared. Jesus came in humble appearance to love us. He appeared as he did, so that instead of fleeing from his glory, we are drawn to his grace. Jesus came in humble gentleness to help us. He carefully heals our broken lives and our broken hearts, using the Holy Spirit's gentle tools of the Word and the sacraments, which can be resisted, but which are the power that changes us. Because Jesus came in humble service to save us. He humbles himself to do the dirty work of cleaning up our hearts and lives with his own righteousness, suffering and dying to take away our sins, and giving up his glory in order to give us the gift of the hope of eternal life. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen. May the peace